Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to another episode of the Ready, Set, Home podcast, your premier podcast covering, I guess, the Toronto Defiant, because we finally got news a while back about that other team we used to talk about. But then, are we still the premier podcast that covers the Toronto Defiant? I don't know. But I am joined by two very, premier hosts in their own right. Jordan Etzer, Dr. JM, host of the One Man Watchpoint podcast, and Ani at OmniStrafe. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Happy to be here again for the second time in 2024.
We're just talking.
Yeah,
it's been over a month. We're discussing how long this episode might be, but it's all good. I mean, the game that we got to watch wasn't that long. So it just matches. It just matches the theme.
So what you're suggesting is that we're currently on world's best run, whether it's the Toronto Defiant over the Shikigami Hikari, which I really liked how they just shortened it in the score bug as Shiki. But
there's a lot of weird abbreviations for teams.
I like Pirates in Pajamas. Pip.
Pulling the curtain back, I had not watched any competitive Overwatch really since this sort of new championship series has started. I attempted to. I had tried to watch RuPaul's, point of view for a Toronto Defiant match. But the problem is, I guess, much like us when we're, waiting to queue up or whatever, and we go into, the lab or what have you. That's what he was doing. I was like, oh, I'm boring. And I tuned it out. But Jordan here, he insisted. He gave me, sad eyes, emoji, and all of that.
Sit up.
I watched that match one and a half times speed, mind you, to catch up.
But that's fine. That's
well, that probably took like 3 minutes then. Because let me tell you, I watched the Shikigami match, and I too did not see like a competitive Overwatch game. But more on that.
Well, we'll get there. I mean, like, again, I know we're on a speed run here, but we got to milk it for the sponsors.
Right.
It's been a month and a bit since we last recorded an episode. We had sort of chatted about things because if you recall, the OWCS had sort of been announced. We hadn't really had any details as to like broadcast or casting or who was all going to be involved outside of the Toronto Defiant, a handful of teams. That's all sort of trickled out. What's an Overwatch competitive scene without a roster apocalypse taking place? That happened. Yep,
pulled in controversy that led to it for sure.
That sort of kicked that off and then proceeded to have, and I mean, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty because it's long since happened, but it just sort of reinforced that, Overwatch players are as committed as the Discord invite they receive. I don't know. It's kind of weird how teams were there and then teams were not, and then people were committed and then people were not, and then they had to extend the deadline because of the roster apocalypse, and then eventually it all sort of trickled out that, hey, it's all good. And then, by the way, players were disqualified after, which then, ended those teams' runs. All sorts of good fun. But we're not going to get into that. We will, however, talk about the fate of the Vancouver Titans. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Toronto Defiant, whether or not they remain mid. But all that is going to come up as we push this payload.
Moving the payload! Join me!
I don't know if anyone is surprised by this news, but the Vancouver Titans are no more. What's interesting, though, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is that the team shared an announcement on February 20th. So we recorded the end of January. So almost a month after our last episode, we were like, we think they're done. Like, there doesn't seem to be any life, any indication that anything is going to be happening. And then on the 20th of February, they posted an announcement. Thanks for the memories. With a suggestion that this chapter may be coming to a close. Go follow the Seattle Surge. One, we never got a thank you to the last roster, really. We never got any farewells or goodbyes, or you get to be a free agent. If you go in the Vancouver Titans Discord right now, the Vancouver Titans currently have Punk listed as a Vancouver Titan, unlike many of the others.
Forever will be.
Right? Like, it's just so surreal that this team, for all intents, did really well at finding its place in that last season. Like, Punk and Crimzo have been on, you know, podcasts themselves and talked really positively about the experience. Yeah, how
they were happy to be there and all that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And then, you know, poof, go follow the Seattle search.
Yeah. I remember talking about this on, I say that like it was, you know, years ago now. I mean, it was maybe a little under a month ago, but I talked about it on One Man Watchpoint when it happened, and it was nice to see a friendly little goodbye, a little montage of the team over the years. Man, did they breeze past that first roster real quick. But honestly, the thing that for me was kind of the biggest, like, I don't even know what to call it, a bit of a gut punch, was simply that if you go to their Twitter page, of course, they updated the banner to say thanks for the memories, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they actually changed the like byline on the profile to say Archive of the Vancouver Titans, an Overwatch League team in association with Canucks Luminosity. And just the fact that they didn't even leave a shred of a chance that this is going to be a thing going forward. This Twitter account is now an archive. They're not touching it ever again. Like that's the message I get from that. And I was like, wow, that's that feels harsh.
Also, but correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Luminosity pick up like Maryville? Oh,
yeah. Luminosity sponsored, I don't know exactly how it works, but they since announced, and this was maybe a couple weeks back now, that they're sponsoring Maryville. So the team formerly known as Maryville Esports in the OWCS is now Luminosity Gaming.
So they're still in the scene, basically active.
They are, but you know who's OWCS. Not is the Canucks or
the Vancouver, the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah,
the Aquiline Group. I want to comment that, you know, in the Titans Discord, when Luminosity had made that announcement, there was this suggestion that, oh, the players are home. And I am like, really, are they? Because for everything that I understand to be the case, and I mean, who am I? I'm just an old man on the outside of everything. So what is it that I really know? Luminosity was involved for like a few seasons and then contributed to so many of the issues and then pieced out. In fact, like the organ, like, Canucks just said, we don't need you no more.
Yeah. I saw a little bit of that.
Themselves.
I saw a little bit of that scuttlebutt too on Discord and on Twitter about people being like, oh, Vancouver Titans connection. And I was like, I don't think they've been involved for years at this point. Like, hadn't it been like legitimately two or three seasons since they had anything to do with the team?
Like, Steve Maeda was the GM, and based on what I was explicitly told, the guy barely showed up, got involved. He never responded to us. I had far better access to the actual Canucks side of things than the quote unquote GM of the team. Like I could have probably had a better chance getting a hockey player on our show to talk about the Vancouver Titans than technically the GM of the actual team, what have you. But no, I mean, it's Luminosity is a brand that's owned by EGLX, Enthusiastic Gaming. They want to make money for the parent, and it's based on eyeballs. I mean, that's it.
I mean,
and Canucks cashed out on EGLX. So
the funny thing is, you said the name, so I looked it up on Instagram, and last post is November of last year. So yeah, it's been a minute since he posted on Instagram, but his profile there says founder at LG Loyal at Vancouver Titans at Seattle Surge.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And that's, these are bold claims, sir. Cause I don't think anyone would say you are that, but okay.
Well, goes back to the original season when so many people were saying that they owned the Titans that other teams had to go to the league and actually say who does.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one knows. Maybe it's, what's that guy's name? I forgot. It's streamer.
Harblue?
Yeah. The strongest connection to the Titans since then, that's for sure.
Anyhow, the Titans are done. They're no more.
Classic. Peace be with them. What a classic way to go out for the Titans. Absolutely.
Came into the league with a bang, exploded, went through a reckoning with a whimper. Wasn't even a whimper. They just sort of like faded.
Like a fart in the wind.
Yeah, not one that hung around. Speaking of something that might be explosive.
Oh.
The Toronto Defiant, not a mid team right now.
That was a transition. I like that.
Yeah, definitely not.
I would have gone with, you know, speaking with a team that is dynamite or something like that. But anyways.
No, see, Toronto Defiant have been winning.
That they have.
Winning hard. Like, I know that there's like a literally like some black magic, or at least there has been something weird going on with how incredibly mid they were, but seeing how, you know, their roster currently at least performed, I don't see it ever coming down. In fact, in the region, at least until we get the inter-regional play, no one really, I think, threatens on paper the roster that Toronto has. So we're never in that position, at least.
Yeah, it's Should we talk about the match?
Yeah, are we there? Why not? So,
well, I think we're there. Yeah, I mean, like, so they're the
before
Defiant Shikigami have been winning.
Yeah, before Shikigami, they had opening matches against like Final Gambit, and it was another win, like a 3-0. But there's no way to watch that game, and I figured before we talk about Shikigami, who are going into the group stage, Shikigami is like rated. Their seed was 13th or something like that. So not very high, but, they're 10th in the NA group stages, and Final Gambit or FG are like dead last. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was much more competitive. No recognizable names, there at all.
Yeah. It's been interesting. Watching these matches, because I mean, yeah, like you guys say, you know, Toronto, they look good. They look great. There's a decent potential that they are, you know, the strongest team in the North American region. The interesting thing for me is, well, I mean, for everyone really, is going to be this main event after this upcoming weekend, once we know where everyone's seated. Because the first real test that they're probably going to have is playing against, likely, Timeless. If you look at the main event bracket, Toronto doesn't play this upcoming weekend because of their record. So they're automatically in the main event for this stage. Yeah, so they play the winner of Timeless against whoever winds up matching against Timeless. Which, again, Timeless being a strong team, it's likely it's Toronto against Timeless. I think that's going to be their first real test. The interesting thing is, yeah, I mean, all the buzz that you hear realistically is about Toronto, but it's also largely because of the history the players have, right? Everyone, with the exception of one player on Toronto, is, of course, coming directly from the Overwatch League. Three of those players are coming from the previous champs, and one of those players was previously a rookie who I think most people would probably say, on a stronger roster, would have elevated it even further, right? I think I'm talking Sugar Free, of course. I think most people would probably say that he was pretty top tier. A lot of people were, you know, thought that he should have been at least nominated for Rookie of the Year last year.
Rookie of the Year, yeah.
So I think a lot of the perception around Toronto, obviously, yeah, it's merited in some way. But I think it's also based on the history. Whereas when you look at a team like Timeless, we don't necessarily know all of the history there. I know a lot of people are impressed with some of their players so far. You know, Chopper comes to mind, Rocket comes to mind. They have a couple, you know, people we may have seen before.
Opener, yeah.
In or around the Overwatch League.
Right.
To me, I look at a team like Luminosity, and I would have thought maybe they'd be making more of a splash. Now, they're not doing bad by any means. They're also immediately into the
M80 looks good.
But,
yeah,
I mean, they look really good right now. The one thing that I kind of, I wouldn't say question, but people really seem to celebrate their 9-0 record in the so-called Swiss stage, which I get it. It's fun. But like, Chris, I echo a lot
doesn't
of
mean nothing.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you said, Chris, when you tried to watch the Swiss stage, because I did as well. And I even, you know, I gave it more than a college try. I watched a number of those matches. Again, from RuPaul's point of view, I think I watched one or two from Masa or something like that as well, someone who was co-streaming. The big thing about this new format for me is that it really, and I think a lot of this is coming from, you know, the experience with the Overwatch League, it really lacked a sort of polish and a sort of shine that I'm used to being a fan of the Overwatch League. Watching the Swiss stage was just like, man, this is gameplay, you know, like it's not even, you know, I personally have more fun watching a streamer play because they have a camera on, they're talking to the audience, even if they're not talking to the audience, even if they're calming with their team, at least they're interacting in some way. Watching a silent RuPaul stream for me was just like, man. This is, he's good, but it's kind of boring, honestly. I would rather hear more. My opinion is very much 90% of the audience does not need to watch the Swiss stage. Groups are where you tune in. And even then, the group stage, you know, that first day of matches wasn't even casted, right? Because it was on a Friday.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're not going to put the money into those matches because they know that, you know, they don't have to pay that contracted talent, the Necras, the Jaws, the Soes, and people like that. Four matches that, you know, not as many people are going to watch. But of course, the Saturday, Sunday matches, that's where, you know, you get some bang for your buck. So
you get some Uber back, you get some, you know, proper stream. And that was a little, that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, Overwatch is Overwatch. I enjoy seeing these players play. But like I said, also the Swiss stage didn't have really that much competitiveness because obviously there's so many teams that just like went through the... you know, the open trial, not trials, I forgot what it's called, but there's not a lot of like high level competition. I did watch, there were a lot of games, even outside of NA. I watched some Korean games. Like, actually, the best game I watched was another 3-0, but it was Falcons versus Runaway. And it was a very close and competitive 3-0, very entertaining. So the potential is there. And let's not forget, we did go like, so many steps ahead with Overwatch League, and now we're going a few steps behind because the entire conception of what Overwatch esports, or at least what needs to happen to Overwatch esports for it to still be a thing, because guess what? Overwatch League is not how it survives ever again. We're never going to see that again. I'm leaving it to, you know, I come in open-minded. I'm glad that we still have Toronto Define, not only like represent Canada, but even still maintain. Well, the listeners don't see it, but you wearing that jersey of the Define is certainly a thing. But and we heard Adamu also speak with Iska like was it a week back?
It was a little while
ago. He spoke that like there is now like a almost a trial period for many different orgs, new orgs, old orgs, to see what's next and see how it can grow to become something. Because right now it's just like we're rebuilding this from zero. So we got to have this in mind. We got to do maybe a little bit less, but with way less money. Yeah,
resources.
Yeah.
So
something I'd like to add quickly.
Go ahead.
Is that, while I concede that this isn't Overwatch League appointment viewing each and every time, like we are getting, the best way to look at this is more like an
independent circuit. We're not going to be on Disney XD anymore.
It's just that for someone like me, who I will always admit, I would qualify as a casual fan. I mean, I get that there are casuals and maybe I don't fit into the casual group. But if you make it hard for me to find your product... Yeah. There's a lot more for me to discover that might capture my eyes. And that's sort of where I feel that the championship series is right now. Is like, I was invested in paying attention to what was going on with the Toronto Defiant, but it was so hard. I just like,
yeah.
I actually gave up. I tapped out.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the two of you really sort of brought it up that I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's make something happen. Mm-hmm. And I was very explicit. I haven't watched this. I haven't really paid attention to the scene all that significantly. But if someone like me is lost,
yeah,
that's not going to be successful for the championship series, because I'd like to think that if you can't get me, you're going to struggle to get those who are far less engaged.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear you say all that, because that is exactly how I was feeling. So we're recording on March 12th, which means we had matches on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. That was the first round of the group stages. Prior to that, I was seeing things like, you know, the Toronto Defiant tweeting, just one tweet saying, you know, catch our matches on whatever day, on, let's just say, March 1st, for example.
On RuPaul's stream.
Exactly. And for me...
Or Commander X.
Yes, Commander X. That's exactly what it was. And naturally...
Were there comms on the RuPaul stream? No, or not even that?
No, there weren't. And
yeah, you wouldn't want to have that publicly
available, and that's, I guess, where I completely agree with you, Chris, because I was very much like, oh, you know, even though it's early on, I want to catch a match and see what the deal is. And I wound up messaging, I'm pretty sure I tweeted out just to everyone who follows me, where are you people watching this? Because all I want is to be entertained. And I don't find it as entertaining when I'm just watching from a single person's point of view. Commander X, sure. He's going to, you know, talk a little bit about what they're doing, about the strategies, about the comps they're running, things like that. He's going to talk to his audience. Sure, I'll give that a try. You know, any other co-streamer who's streaming it. Yeah, sure, I'll give that a try. But it really felt like it was hard to figure out, what do I need to watch? And that's not me coming at it from a perspective of, I want to catch every game. That's me coming at it from a perspective of, I want to follow this one team. And for me, right, I was seriously questioning things, being like, if this is how it's going to be, if I can't even find a good home to enjoy this, I'm not going to tune in. And then it wasn't until, you know, this past weekend with the actual group stage where, okay, we're on the OWE Sports channel. Okay. I tune in and immediately I'm greeted by Matt and Uber. And I'm like, I know these voices. I know these people. You know, they come up on the camera.
Right.
Now, a little bit of a caveat to that. It did feel a little, you know, late 2020 season, you know, 2021 season. Everyone's casting from their home.
Everyone's in their, like,
exactly, home. Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, obviously I understand that. You know, I don't have a problem with that. It just was a funny kind of flashback to, like, hey, I remember this. I remember this feeling. And by all means, you know, for the most part, everyone has professional equipment. And at this point, they've been doing that for a number of years. So they know, you know, what their setup needs and everything. But again, it was challenging in the start. And all I really want to see is orgs communicate with their audience. If Toronto had really communicated and said, hey, here's where to catch our streams, and not just, you know, a single tweet that gets buried in a tweet of promotions, you know, build it up throughout the week. You don't need to tweet every day. Tweet on a Monday, on a Wednesday, then Thursday, saying our match is on Friday. You know, promote someone who is going to be streaming your match, kind of like they did with Commander X. But again, even that was, you know, a little bit hard to find. You know, there was a flub in the tweet, which, hey, I'm not going to pick a fight with that. But everyone makes mistakes. But anyways, all I want to see is you promoting your own product. And that will make it easier for me to find that product. That's all I'm looking for.
So the promote your own product, if you go to the Overactive Media website right now, if you go to defiant.gg, it forwards you to the Overactive Media website with the Toronto Defiant roster. If you go and take a look where it says meet the team, let me know if any of those players ring a bell.
I'm going to go out on a limb, not even on the page yet, and say it's last year's roster. Well, it's the former Overwatch League roster. Yep, sure is.
Correct. And I feel, and I'm not trying to, you know, throw, you know, salt on a wound.
No, I get it.
But if you can't update something like this on your own brand controlled site, it sort of speaks in some respect to considerable volume as to how much you're actually invested in making a run. And I'm not taking away. I think Adam has made it very clear. Like they want to make this work. Mm-hmm. But I also often will see Adam articulate some of the struggles. Like, mm-hmm. here are things that need to happen. We need to find a way to monetize this. Skin, something. Like, there. Every time I see that, it reinforces to me this is it for Toronto. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they gotta
win it all. And even if then, do they come back for another round next year? Like, I don't know. I mean, I want to get us to the match. But
we're still at the point where people want to consume this product. People want to cheer on. People want to be engaged. Don't lose that again. Like with Overwatch League, we had so much opportunity, so many bad decisions. We're now really early on at the stage of over WCS, and it seems like we got some good things going on, but we need to really capture these things. There are positives. I like the gameplay itself. It's very diverse, very interesting. The map bans, like the things that are competitive related, they're pretty good. Japan has been quite an interesting phenomenon where Overwatch is mm-hmm. really gaining huge popularity there, being streamed to more people than Pacific and Korea combined. Mm-hmm. There's an mm-hmm. opportunity there to be like, you know, a new, like what the Chinese region used to be before. We also saw a little bit of a glimpse of Hangzhou Spark kind of banding up together, probably for the Overwatch World Cup thing that was not the World Cup, but the esports World Cup thing. So there are things moving about. Mm-hmm. This is obviously growing pains, but there needs to be growing and not just pains. Oh, yeah. And right now it does feel like a lot of more pain than not.
Well, and to be clear, like, I enjoyed myself this past weekend. I enjoyed watching Toronto's matches you know, a number of the other matches. Sorry if you can hear my dog barking.
It's all good.
I had a lot of fun with it. And again, it did feel like coming home. You know, the second I heard Matt and Uber casting, and then we go to Jaws and Necra, you know, I was really pleased with that. And I thought they all did a great job. And again, getting back into that, I really enjoyed. I'm just saying, you know, promote your product here. And the interesting thing about that, if you listen to the Grow Up Level Up podcast hosted by friend of the show, Samson XP.
No, he's not a friend of the show anymore.
That's right. You revoked his membership, but a former friend of the show, Samson, go check out the Grow Up Level Up podcast. His most recent episode, he does an interview with Adam. And as we know, you get Adam talking and you read between the lines a little bit, you're going to pull out some nuggets of gold there. And he talks about the Toronto org. He talks about Overactive Media as in a larger sense. And he talks a lot, just like he did, you know, Alex, you mentioned, on, the Tactical Crouch podcast. He talks a lot about how to build the business and how he sees it growing and where the opportunity is. And he directly says, in the other esports avenues that Overactive Media is a part of, they have partnerships with someone in each of those esports that isn't a player or anything like that. They're just a content creator, and they will co-stream those matches, and they do 4 times the amount that the official channel does. Mm-hmm. And to me, that says that's what they want. They want to get there with the Toronto Defiant. Why aren't they doing that yet? Kharkiv was playing, I guess. So that's why they didn't use Kharkiv for that. But, you know, I know that Adam is thinking, who can we get in front of this? And I mean, hey, I'm wearing a Toronto Defiant jersey right now, but that's besides the point. You know, you get where I'm going.
You come cheap.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, like, why has that happened? Money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much is what I'm willing to do worth to me? How much are you willing to pay for what I think I'm worth? Like, you know, there's all that comes into play. Mm-hmm. And co-streaming, like, maybe it's different now. RSP used to regularly put in an application to co-stream, and we each and every time get a generic thanks, but no thanks response.
Oh, really?
And what sort of that reinforced was that what we were able to provide mm-hmm. was of no interest to the powers that be that made those decisions. Yeah. I'm not bitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I understood that, you know, they probably wanted, you know, someone who is a Twitch partner what have you. That's not us. Right. But the struggle is that you know, Adam has actually spoken to that particular aspect on this show multiple times. Mm. Like, whether it's RSP or others within the ecosystem, we're the group of people you embrace to help elevate. Like, we're True. Bringing different people together. And you're right. I think there is value in what they're getting out of their other sort of brands. Mm-hmm. Or other properties that maybe is missing in the Overwatch side of things. But you said it very well. I tune in to be entertained. You know, hearing UberX, there's some entertainment value there. And you're right. It's not necessarily going to be them, but if you had a coaster, like, I would probably be more willing to tune into something if I knew one, where to go, when to be there, yeah, exactly. make it easy for me. And when I tune in, I'm getting value. I got someone who's describing.
Yeah.
Like, I always refer back to the RSP show match with Alpha Flight from, like, God, how long ago was that?
Oh, and we dominated even, these guys.
Even we had a professional cast.
Yeah.
We had, like, we had commentary. It was good fun. Oh, but that's what the entertainment was provided.
Is that video, like, still somewhere? I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Gotta go find it.
It's a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the match, because I will admit I watched it. Yes, I watched it at 1.5 times speed. It lasted maybe, like, you know, 5 minutes. it was sort of scratching the itch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how you get that little itch, you scratch it, it gets even worse. It was sort of scratching the itch. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I got more of that, I might be inspired to get, like, back into it, but
well,
on its own, like, what did I see? I saw Toronto Defiant completely outclass an opposing team to the point that they were just memeing nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I mean, that comes back to, again, you know, we're early on in the stage. They don't play this weekend, but the weekend after that, we move into the main event, which is, you know, your actual tournament, right? It's a double elim except for the final, I think.
Yeah.
First to three, with the exception of the finals, first to four. So that's when you'll see a greater level of competition, a higher degree of competition, right?
Yeah. Not only that, but, like, in the Korean region, we see a bunch of matches already played in studio on LAN.
True.
We hear a little bit of a crowd. We see some face cams. That's kind of the part that I'm missing that I really like to see about in Overwatch League. So it's not an Overwatch League thing at all, but, like, I'm sure most of these players do have webcams, so that could have been something that could be easily, you know, added maybe somewhere down the road. Definitely when we'll see these players in person, because we got to see the personalities beyond just the names on the avatars of the heroes that they play. Another little bit that I liked, because you might have noticed, players can definitely just pick and choose whichever skins they have applied on, which is adds a quirky element to it. I liked, outside of merit, I think people did have did apply, like, the Toronto Defiant skins. I definitely remember Sugar Free playing on the Genji skin, so I like that part. I even saw, like, the Runaway matchup, they had the Hangzhou Spark skins on because of the colorway, so that was a little cool. Commentary helps a lot, obviously, when you have some people who know what they're talking about, and, like, the excitement and connection to the team, and obviously having great personalities and Sugar Free, of course, and the Toronto branding helps a lot, because I tell you, if we're a little bit, you know, we're struggling a little bit. We're talking about our challenges. Imagine if we didn't have even, like, a Toronto Defiant,
a team to latch on.
Way worse. Well, right. Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. If that, you're right. If the Toronto Defiant did not exist, I don't think the two of you could have talked me into having another
episode. Exactly. Like,
it would have been done. I mean, that's there. Right. That is really the only hook for me, because I've never been into the competitive scene until OWL. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't until the Vancouver Titans were a thing that I even got interested. And with them out, you know, credit to Adam and his team at OAM, they did a really good job at making it easy for us to have that connection with them, especially from afar. But yeah,
Credit literally himself, like, talking to us and reaching out. But that's what you want to have, yeah. right? That's like, mm-hmm. if we had more Adams and less Francesco's, it would be in a better spot for sure.
The world would be in a better spot with less Francesco's, but
absolutely. Yeah. At least I don't know them personally, but the world of Overwatch esports would definitely be a better place.
I'm confident in saying Francesco yeah. is not someone you want to be friends with.
Yeah. Lijiang Tower?
Oh yeah, were we going to talk about the match?
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
trying to get us there.
We thought it was going to be a short episode. Yeah, there were a couple, like, you know, the game started, they were in control center. Toronto actually lost a couple of battles, but someone, that guy, mm-hmm. before the memeing, he's the outgoing, you know, the last Overwatch League MVP. He can play anything. He was on the Doomfist. Mm-hmm. He adapted to anything, you know, the great Sexy Man 69 threw at him.
Yeah, that was pretty great the first
the,
time.
The Junker yeah. Queen, the Zarya. You know, they weren't playing like Team RSP there, right? A bunch of Tier 3 players who got some picks, who got some caps. It wasn't like mm-hmm. a massacre. We even saw like worst examples in Overwatch League. So let's not like be too mean to them. But you did see that they were outmatched.
Yeah.
They were. Like they were,
and Toronto weren't like trying, I'd say, like 100%. Exactly.
There were times where it felt a little like they were playing with their food.
Yeah, and Hollywood later for sure.
Yes. I mean that was clear, yeah. but even in this first round, there's a moment where someone on the Doomfist is outside the control room on that sort of balcony. And he just waits for the team to walk in front of that door and walk past. And, you know, he knows that they're probably not going to check. And sure enough, they don't. And he just pops out, right? So.
Yeah, no, the closest of the three was Lijiang.
Right. Mm-hmm. Scary team, Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, so someone might suggest that on the push map, it was kind of close.
No, did he suggest that? Someone?
No, someone else, not someone. Well, but it was the memeing from someone and from RuPaul mm-hmm. and
Hollywood too. Oh my god! Right? Like Ryan right now is. I'm sorry to break it to you.
I agree. He's in a projectile not in a good spot. He's lacking the projectiles. Yeah. All he's just a sponge. Like okay,
but he danced pretty well in that match.
Yeah. Well, he did. He did dance. He danced real well at the spawn door.
Yeah.
And then I think he still got a pick there too in between in between movements. Oh god. The Toronto Defiant, yes, they've been playing maybe weaker competition. The real competition comes up soon. Does it look to be a team that is more than mid? Like I've only seen a very small sample. Yes,
absolutely.
And I genuinely wonder. One, who have they been scrimming against to have found their sort of
groove,
you know, homestand form?
Yeah.
Like Toronto Defiant in front of a home crowd always seem to elevate their game. And two, are they just that good? And if, you know, this is the case, you know, credit to Kasaurus for identifying who can be put together and how whichever amount of time he used to make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, why not, right? You mentioned Sugar Free in NA because you already have Merit and the Overwatch League MVP in someone. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, the best flex DPS in North America. Vega, obviously, is probably the most unproven player, but he was highly sought after. Mm-hmm. He was kind of like the Charong of NA for a while.
I think they were even.
And it's maybe like the only weakness is that they have like a very small roster. With that being said, it's a very flexible roster. I thought like we saw Vega play a little bit of Zen too, which was a good surprise, but. And he played it well. I don't know. They look extremely strong.
Yeah. There was. I think it was Vega that people were saying. He really should have been in the league last year, but because of the age restrictions, there was some gray area where he was basically on the cusp of being signed. And then it was kind of a, oops, nope, he's too young. Turns out he couldn't play. Or at least for some of the season. So he didn't wind up getting signed, but, this roster is definitely working well together.
Pre-existing synergies as well. Lots of stuff going for you. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, they do get to play in, was it 2 weeks' time? I should maybe write this down or put it on the calendar, because, I mean, in case I forget, which is very likely going to happen.
North America main event is March 21st to the 24th.
Wait, what about Esperanza? We saw the someone monkey.
And the Mauga and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
100% win rate on Mauga.
Was there a hog?
No, we didn't get any hog.
He forgot to do that.
But then, again, that map was close because Toronto was having fun.
Oh, we saw Sigma. Yeah. Someone was on Sigma before he did the Rhine dance eventually, but...
Right.
Well, okay, he was on Sigma defense.
On defense,
On Hollywood Rhine attack, where they brought out the Sigma rush stat.
It was a pretty maneuver they did.
Around the left behind, as opposed to the right.
Yeah.
And even, I think they were actually down. Was it Merritt got dropped first?
Oh, it happened a bunch of times. Yep. And like outside of some cap that they got on Li Zhang, they still did not lose a fight outside of Li Zhang, I think. Generally speaking. You just see the difference in levels right away. What can you do?
It felt to me with Esperanza when I was watching that Toronto was perfectly fine and just, well, we've pushed it farther than you and we're just going to continue to frustrate. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Toronto's pushing the robot along and it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we can do that too. But it was, again, what, a 15-minute match on 1.5 times speed, so... Over and done. In fact, if you've been listening to this podcast, that match is now over on regular speed. Speaking of what's over, the payload, it's about time for us to jump into the fray.
Back into the fray.
A lot has happened in the context of the league, in the context of the game, in the context of the competitive scene since we last recorded. Again, we're not going to get into it all because that would just be far too long of a show for the, you know, six people that might tune in, most of which are our parents. But the OWCS is a thing. Alex, you inferred that we're seeing some return to form in the APAC region, getting huge numbers in Japan. NA is just being NA, but I don't genuinely think anyone, based on the preliminary sort of research I did, which was 5 minutes before we went live, is giving NA much credit based on how competitive EMEA and APAC have been. But is there anything else other than roster apocalypse that took place that really stands out to how things have been going? Well, that and the fact that two players disqualified their teams because of their Russian background.
Yeah, I mean... Outside of those two things, not really. Nothing jumps out.
But I am speaking as an outsider because that's how I truly feel at this point. I don't know what's going on, but I'm also not looking for it. And I don't necessarily know if I'm the audience that those regions are looking for either. Yeah.
Honestly, I think the big thing is we're into this because we're, sort of in all of our cases, but, you know, largely in Alex and my case, we're into this because of the connection we already have with the competitive scene. I think they'll be happy if they see, you know, a small percentage of growth based on this. But realistically, I think they're banking on the live events. The numbers have been fine. You know, in North America, at least, I checked on Saturday's matches. I think the Twitch channel had 19 point something K and the YouTube had 5.6K. So, you know, roughly 20K across both, which, you know, for a quote unquote grassroots competitive esports scene, that's pretty good. But I think it's really those major events that they're banking on the more rapid growth and bringing in those larger audiences, which, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise, really. But I think that all has that. All the lack of promotion and things that I talked about already, I think it all comes into play in that, right? It's all a factor in that. I think once we get close to that first live event in DreamHack Dallas, we'll see some real serious promotion about this, because that's when they get on a literal stage and say, look at our product. This is what we've built. You know, this is what we've built out of the ashes of the Overwatch League. So yeah, I mean, you know, Rosterpocalypse happened. It was kind of incredible that it happened in the way it happened. And, you know, there was lots to talk about there. But as you mentioned, we're going to stay away from that a little bit. Call it old news at this point. But yeah.
Yeah, if you are curious and want to learn about Rosterpocalypse, Liz Richardson put together a great sort of rundown as to how things all sort of transpired over the course of, I want to say it was like, less than 24 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it impacted a number of different players, coaches, teams.
I think there were at least two teams, if not, I think two that were affected like largely. But yeah, definitely just players bouncing from teams because a slot opened on another one org that imploded entirely, all sorts of stuff. So
yeah, and the timing was awful.
Yeah, for it was hours before the deadline, right?
For people who weren't involved with the controversy, of course. Yep. So,
and that's the thing is, I get that it is essentially an independent scene, but like I would have to imagine an organization like OAM has contracts with their roster that would prevent something like that from occurring. Obviously, on the very grassroots end, like there's probably at best a handshake, maybe a couple pieces of text typed in Notepad. Right. Like, but the fact that you could have players just, I'm going to go join that roster now. And then, I mean, like Wheats was coaching and Wheats was not. Right. Like you've been scrimming. And all of a sudden now him saying, yeah, don't worry. We're not coming. There's no team. Right. Like it was so unfortunate in some respect to those who got impacted through no fault of their own because of, simply put, young men being real stupid, doing stupid things. And I stupid undersells it. I just don't want to get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the game. So a lot has happened patch-wise. The biggest shift is probably self-heal. This is now a thing, which if you ever were pissed off that your supports weren't healing, you can support yourself. Just go hide in a corner for a while, and eventually you'll start getting your health back. But to balance that out, if you have a projectile weapon of some sort, you are given a good old buff onto a hitbox that was nice and big. And that left one hero who had very limited projectile options available to them being like put into like F tier. And it saddens me to say, not even I will play Reinhardt anymore. Although in the latest patch, they've buffed the fire strike.
He's back.
So yeah, if I happen to hit one of those two fire strikes, I can deal some damage,
20 more,
but then I have to wait for the cooldown while you come and just delete me.
Yeah. Honestly, I had been playing a lot at the start of this season. And honestly, I think they did a great job with season 9. Yeah, not everything was perfect. You know, they've come out and said, I think actually the patch that dropped today, they tweaked things like the self-healing that you mentioned. Yeah, it's a lesser percentage than it was previously. And I, you know, that's going to happen with anything, right? You should expect when they release any sort of a major change, there's going to be some tweaks needed. Otherwise, you wind up in a situation like when Malga dropped or when Sojourn dropped, and they just are oppressive, right?
Or when I had too much fun playing Hanzo.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So
classic, the Hanzo classic. But ultimately, I've enjoyed this season a lot. I haven't been playing a ton lately, just because I've been playing some other things. But I was enjoying the changes they made, and I think they did a great job with really shifting things to make the game feel better. And there was a ton of panic before that, right? When all the leaks mm-hmm. came out, and I think it was RuPaul that leaked it, but when the leaks came out about the adjustments to projectile sizes and to, readjusting basically everyone's health pool and things like that, the whole content creation world in the Overwatch scene lost their minds. And then I think it came out and everyone was like, wow, this actually feels pretty good.
Something that's come out in other games, like I remember, with Destiny, when I was playing Destiny 1, nerfs were always prevalent. And the counter to that is don't nerf things, buff everything else.
Yeah, and then you get power creep, and then everyone gets really, really strong. And that's kind of the situation Overwatch found itself in with goats, right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone always falls back on.
Well, but that's the thing is, like, they didn't buff everything,
right?
With goats was a structural issue. Yeah. Like, they could have probably buffed the heck out of something and they would just had a shift to that particular, single meta. Mm. But you buff everything, you do get power creep. I get maybe everyone's overtuned, but then it's a lot easier to start to lower, mm-hmm. Incrementally, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to lower this. I'm going to lower this. I'm going to lower that. We're going to lower this. This is not feeling. Yeah. We're going to lower that. What's happening is you're taking away fun. Mm-hmm. To use the meat sports analogy where defense wins championships. I don't think many people enjoy playing defense in video games. So if you're going to nerf offense, you're denying fun, denying opportunity. So like I hate that Reinhardt sucks now. I truly do. I've been playing the heck out of Sombra and just absolutely loving it.
Have you been playing again? Because the last episode we recorded, you weren't playing that much.
Since that adjustment, I have enjoyed the game. Hey. I've enjoyed playing.
Yeah. Cool.
So that adjustment brought me back. But I will admit, my game time is split. I've been doing a little health divers because I got to implement democracy on bugs and robots as best as I can.
Can't let them win, so...
No. Plus, I'm like big Starship Troopers.
Oh, I didn't know, but good. Yeah. There's lots of good games.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying that adjustment. Yeah. I have been playing Projectile, which I...
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say Sombra and...
Sombra, Soldier. Yeah. I've been playing Ashe.
Wow. What a world we live in. Any Cassidy? Sounds a lot like you're naming every character in a certain crossover that just came out.
No Cassidy, no Widow, no Hanzo. If I'm on, I don't play tank anymore. I've given up on playing tank. Support, you're going to get Brig. And the only reason you get Brig is because
Tracer's everywhere.
Tracer.
Yeah.
if you frustrate me enough as Tracer and I'm on support, I'm going to come out as Brig. Okay. I've been playing a lot of Ana, and I know she's not meta, but it drives me nuts that I'll sleep a Tracer. Mm-hmm. I'll ping the heck out of her that she is
and nobody on the ground. Nobody goes first.
No one.
Yeah, I hear you. As a support player, I hear you as well, because I'm Lucio. I'm in their back line. I'm trying to boot people out of cover so that someone can line up a shot, and then nothing happens, and then oftentimes I wind up dead. So anyways, I get it.
I've been getting really good with the sleeps. Like, I've been sleeping alting Genjis. Nice. Oh, that's the other cool thing. I sleep in alting Genji, and Baldur then the Moira throws her orb.
Yeah, or your
Something like that will happen. Right. It's and then I've been seeing a lot of Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem when you're playing Grandma is like, Winston's coming. I'm going to hit that sleep because no one's going to peel to support me. And then
she can't get away.
Pinging the sleeping Winston.
Where's the rest of my team? Yeah, I make a break for it.
Yeah, well, I actually had a Winston rage in one match. I slept them, I think it was 10 times. And we lost, and the person's in chat, hey, Anna, try to sleep me one more time. And like my team was like you were getting sleeps. Like I had slept the Genji 3 times while they were ulting. It's just every time the monkey jumped, I had to, that was my, what can I do, right? Apparently, I need to play Anna somehow different where I don't sleep the monkey, like get in a fist fight with him, maybe. I don't
know. They're going to give Anna rocket boots like they gave Farah next.
They should.
Just so that she can leap back or forwards or, you know, whatever direction, get out of there a little bit. I mean, that's essentially what they did with Zen, right? The problem with Zen was he was so diveable. You could just land on him and he couldn't get away. So they gave him his kick and now he boots people and...
And now you can even see it in the kill feed, which is awesome. The new little icon. I think we talked about it that it should be like changed.
We did, yeah. I think you said.
Yeah, I enjoy the patch too. Like as long as I can play Genji, I'm happy. He's pretty viable.
Are you still playing comp, Alex?
Oh yeah.
What are you right
Whenever
now?
Whenever I log into Overwatch,
What are you? What rank?
Like gold. I wasn't plat for some reason. Like I enjoy this patch more, but I'm losing more than winning. But I have fun
with the rank reset. I finally dove back into comp and placed higher than I have ever placed before. Nice. I'm gold 3 right now, which is
impressive. I was placed pretty high, but then I dropped out of plat.
Yeah, you'll get back up there because there's no doubt that it'll level out kind of thing as people taper off with the season.
For sure,
but.
Yeah, I'll stick to wood tier.
Yeah,
we're at the long.
My goodness, here we are approaching the hour mark.
I know, and probably time for us to talk about the latest patch and the introduction of the next branded collaboration, Cowboy Bebop. I don't really follow anime yet. I knew the theme, like when they played it at the end of the teaser trailer. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what this is.
The anime is great. It's a perfect anime for even non-anime people, in my opinion. Really good. Not the live action thing, but
I haven't seen the skins in great detail in game. I've heard mixed reviews. Have either of you checked them out so far?
Yeah, I mean, they came out with this amazing trailer that was collaborated. I think one of the studios behind with partnership with Crunchyroll, but the problem is they have this amazing anime art style and cel shading and all that, and then and that's the only thing that they show, and the designs look incredible, and it's a very stylized anime, and then they showed an in-game thing, and you know, you always fall back to, oh, it's still Overwatch, and then it looks a little bit weird. Especially like, let's say, Cassidy's skin. Like, I think Ash looks pretty good. Malga definitely looks amazing, but it's kind of like, especially when they tease you with those stylized 2D animations, and you're like, oh my god, this looks incredible. And then it doesn't look as great in the actual game. But still, I like it. Like, I think the One Punch Man was quite hype. Obviously, the engagement they get from these trailers and events is incredible. So yeah.
I think it's the right way to go. Price point. It's approximately $65 bucks Canadian.
I didn't even know. For everything? Oh my god. How much was it for One Punch Man?
Wasn't that much, but it wasn't as many.
Are you sure? Are you sure it wasn't that much?
I don't think. Well, okay. I
didn't even get it.
I will concede that maybe I'm incorrect here, but I don't believe there was many skins.
Right.
That would make sense. Could buy, and you got one.
Yeah.
So if
I'm not mistaken, I want to say One Punch Man, you only had to buy the main character, the One Punch Man skin for Doomfist. Am I right about that? And then you could unlock the Newman Rider skin for Soldier from Challenges. Mm-hmm. And this one, you've got, what is it, 4 skins plus 1 that you can unlock through Challenges? So 5 skins, but 4 you have to buy.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Le Seraphim crossover, that one had 4 skins as well, and 1 you could unlock. And I'm pretty sure Le Seraphim was $85. Now, that may be Canadian, in which case, I don't know if the $65 you looked at is 80.
65 was Canadian.
That was Canadian.
I mean, it was okay. Yeah, because I essentially look, okay, how many coins would I have to purchase to buy this?
Dude, I need to buy. I need to
package is what you would need, and you would have 100 coins left over.
That's a lot. I don't mind like the battle pass, but these packs, holy moly. See, I need to buy food and stuff and you know, and gas.
And
it's way too much.
I made a little bit of this point in the Ready, Set, Pwn Discord today, which you can join at
discord.io/ReadySetPwn.
Yeah, that. And for me, I have no problem with them charging whatever they want for crossover type stuff. They want to charge $100 for it. Like, yeah, go for it. I'm almost never going to be the person buying those skins. The only money I have ever spent on Overwatch, I didn't buy the first game. I was given it as a gift. I bought the Founders Pack when Overwatch 2 launched, and then I bought the Invasion expansion, whatever it was, when that came out. So I've basically paid, I think it works out to be $60-65 each time. I think that charging for crossover skins is the best way for them to make money. And then I think you need to have a way to get skins for free, which in theory is the battle pass. I want to say you can only get one or two from the battle pass if you don't pay for the battle pass. If you pay for it, you get a legendary every 10 tiers or something like that. So I do think there's a better balance they need to strike. I think you should give people more free rewards that are better than the stickers and emblems and stuff, because I think all that's garbage. But I think crossover skins charging for them is the best way for them to make money off this game, and the best way for the game to grow is for them to make money. So,
yeah, I think the struggle for me, and everything they articulate is very much similar to what I had said on RSP Discord. I always go to the OG, which is Fortnite.
Yeah.
And what I can pay for in Fortnite to get and a skin that's essentially a replica out of what I've probably taken from whatever I watched it in. Again, different engines and the architecture is entirely different. So I'm not going to suggest that it's just as easy to do what Fortnite is in Overwatch. But it doesn't cost me a significant amount of money, and there is quite a bit more variety.
Sure.
It's an ongoing thing, and I don't have any sort of compelling reason to spend money, but if I did, let's say they dropped in I'd reference Starship Troopers as an example. Let's say they had a Starship Troopers theme pack, or like some form of old school retro one that only like three of us who were old enough to even remember Hasselhoff. It would buy into it, right? Well, I've said that.
I know.
If they had like a David Hasselhoff skin, but I wouldn't pay $65 for it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that is too rich. And that's not to suggest it's not good value. Like, I know someone had dropped a comment in RSP Discord. Like, the same people might be complaining about the price are also complaining about artists getting paid their fair share. Yeah. I feel artists should be paid their fair share, but I think it's still fair for me to say what they're charging is too rich for me.
Yeah.
I hope they get it. They're not getting it from me. I'm not holding any ill will. I'm not upset at Blizzard. Mm-hmm. They want to charge $1,000 for that skin pack, have at it.
And the funny thing is, I'm in this really weird spot where I again, in the RSP Discord, I suggested, my brain says DLC, skin packs, map packs, game modes, things like that. I have a hard time swallowing a pill that's more than $15 to $30. I almost made the comparison in RSP Discord that in Fortnite, I'm a huge Futurama fan. If you look on my desk here, you can see Futurama characters right there next to my Overwatch characters. When they dropped Futurama characters in Fortnite, I wasn't playing Fortnite yet, but I have played it a decent amount since. And they've come back into the shop while I've been playing it. And I looked at them and I didn't want to do $20 for them. And I find myself going, I don't need it. I've unlocked a couple skins. Yeah. I'm fine. But I'm in a unique position because I'm not going to spend the money on that. But the crossover is working on me. The Le Sserafim crossover got me into Le Sserafim. I now have songs by them in my regular everyday music playlist. The crossover has made me want to watch Cowboy Bebop, which I've never considered before. I know the history behind it. I know that a lot of people say it was kind of one of the first breakthrough real kind of more hardcore animes You know, aside from your Pokemons and things like that, that kind of appeal a little more to children. I probably just offended a lot of people, but screw you. I know the history about it. I've heard it before and I've never wanted to watch it until I saw the crossover with Overwatch. And that made me go, maybe I should watch this. I'm also in a weird boat because I watched the live action One Piece and I'm now watching the One Piece anime. So, hey, maybe I just like anime and I didn't know it until I started giving it a try. But my point is the crossovers are working in the opposite direction that Overwatch thinks they're going to work on me. But for a lot of people, they're going to fork over that money because they love One Piece.
Yeah, you already like Overwatch. The
Seraphim. So. Exactly. Right.
I find it interesting that you're getting pulled over through Overwatch crossovers. I can't say I had really any curiosity as to, I mean, oh, Le Seraphim, cool. And I didn't go and explore. Maybe if I did, I might have enjoyed the music.
You didn't learn the dance moves yet, Chris?
No, I did not.
Come on.
My dance style is very much like Reaper. Back in the foot. You know, there's really no desire to go explore anime. Maybe I'll like it. I don't know. And it's not like I'm resisting. Mm-hmm. It's just, for me, it's like,
yeah, you don't care.
Lots of other things on the go, yeah. Right? Like, what am I sort of taking off my plate to go and throw that one on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have any FOMO. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because a series that I actually went back to just recently was Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Season one.
Oh, you went back to season one.
Binge season one. I hadn't watched it. And what's interesting is that once I gave it a chance, I'm like, oh, this isn't actually as bad as I had heard it to be. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it for what it was. I did have to do a little research to determine that, oh, so there's an entirely different timeline. I got it. Well, I watched Star Trek. I get that. But, you know, maybe that's something I should do. But I think from a marketing perspective, that's what they're wanting more of. They want all the people that they know they can bank on, but they also want the connection to the market that they don't normally have access to.
Yeah.
Anything else about the game that you want to touch on before we look to wrap things up? Because we're over an hour now. And
well, if you want a Porsche, there's a nice crossover with Porsche coming too. And hey, like I just said, apparently,
how much is that Diva skin going to cost?
Apparently, I'm getting a Porsche now. That's what I've learned from this conversation. Well,
I've been playing Final Fantasy Rebirth, which is incredible. And even they have a Porsche.
Do they really?
Crossover, yeah, they do.
Oh, so this is a Porsche thing.
Porsche is in on this.
Okay, interesting. I didn't know that. That's cool. I remember when Mercedes crossed over with Mario Kart and everyone went, huh? But, hey, great.
Cute.
So has there been any car brands in Fortnite?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I mean, we've seen like gliders have like, you know, the Millennium Falcon, for instance, which I have. And also in the Fortnite art style, when you're talking about like Futurama, it's like Matt Groening was actually doing the, art in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. That's how good it was.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But maybe that's the differentiation. Maybe that's Overwatch is looking to stand out as. Is the automobile crossover. I mean, at some point in time, there'll be Butterfinger stickers on the buildings.
Oh, we can dream. That'll be when the Vancouver Titans count finally tweets again, when the Butterfingers comes out.
Oh, yeah. Man, the Vancouver Titans would have been like Pizza Hut breadsticks. Trying to think what else they had.
Imagine like a Circle K socks for all the characters. We got the socks. Why can't Sigma get some socks from Circle K?
Free the feet. Come on. Don't try and cover those bad boys up. Man.
I have to admit, it's good chatting with the two of you, especially as we get to this part of the show or where we start to go off on sidebars or off the rails or whatever you want to call it.
We're all tired. All tired old man here. Yeah, I'm still in my work shirt. It's been a long day.
Well, someone's got to make the big bucks. It might as well be you.
No, it's someone.
But as we
someone is making the big bucks.
Someone is?
Well, who knows? I mean, does the Toronto Defiant
someone should.
Pay well?
The relative big bucks now.
Yeah. Who knows when we'll be back? maybe someone in a bites. Week or two or three or 4 weeks, month, who knows? I mean, I'm not at that point where I'm going to say this is it. I would like for the show to have some form of regular cadence, but as I said in the last episode, and I'll say it again, it's really hard to talk about something that makes it hard for you to actually engage with it. So, yeah, if anyone has a solution there that doesn't require us to essentially work for free in a full-time capacity to actually consume the content, I'm all ears. But what final words of wisdom do y'all have for the listeners this week?
Hashtag farce of nature.
Farce of nature.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't sure for a second there if you said farts of nature or farce of nature.
Well, that too. We did
talk about that.
Say like, like a fart in the wind. Mm-hmm.
So should I title this hashtag farts of nature?
Or like a fart in the wind. I don't know. Up to you.
I feel that does a disservice to the conversation outside of the titles.
For sure. Yeah. I'm down for the flatulence titles. Always.
Yes. Good thing it's not about a chicken this time.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. I was just going to say with respect to Toronto, you know, I think there's some real merit behind this team. I really hope someone helps this team remain sugar-free and vegan or vegan, because if they do, they might just walk the stage like the famous drag queen, RuPaul.
RuPaul.
Can we somehow loop Sexy Man 69 into this? I know he's down in Toronto Defiant, but I feel it's important.
It's time for the return of Fried Wiener, if we're being honest here.
Yeah.
Gosh. The fact that the Overwatch League made him change his name because they wanted to be, you know.
It only put more focus on the Wiener, so. True.
And then you got Gabe Bolshee coming in here, but anyways.
Gentlemen, what do a pair of dentures and stars have in common?
They're shining bright. I don't know.
They both come out at night.
Oh.
I'd like to take credit for that joke, but a shout out to the Accent Inn on Highway 99. They throw jokes up on their signboard, and I thought that was good.
Pretty good. Decent.
It was good. Yeah.
Clean and cute.
So here we are, end of the episode. If you haven't done so already and you were like, holy smokes, this is a weird one, you know, come join RSP Discord, discord.io/ReadySetPwn, because all sorts of weird stuff takes place there too. You can follow us on social media at ReadySetPwn, but let's be honest, not much happens on social media with our account these days, because, again, I don't know what to talk about, because it's hard to find that information. You can find us on social media platforms as well. Jordan Zetzer, Dr. JM, yes, the One Man Watchpoint podcast. How often is One Man Watchpoint being recorded these days?
We were back in a cadence of every 2 weeks. Last week, I got a little bit lazy, but that was good because it was Wednesday, Thursday, and then, of course, the weekend of matches. So we got crossover, and then a weekend of matches. So I recorded it and posted it. Recorded yesterday, posted today. By the time you're listening to this, recorded 2 days ago, posted the day after that, which would have been yesterday. Anyways, I took a week off. It's going to post the same week as this episode of RSP, but we'll get back to it. We'll figure it out.
And then Alex, OmniStrife, you can find him on all the social medias. Are you still doing, what was that YouTube channel that you had created?
Yeah, but I'm waiting to make another one, but I haven't had the time. The Ready Set Tunes thing. There's only two videos there for your, you know, toddlers. So we'll see.
And I am Chris at Lightforce. I got nothing else going on. It's just the way it is.
Just life, you know.
Yeah. Catchphrase.